Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. The war in Ukraine is well into its third year, and Russia's advances on the battlefield have caused jitters across the EU, particularly in the countries bordering Russia that used to be part of the Soviet bloc. Security-related themes, not just military questions, but also energy security and food security, are high on the agenda in the EU election campaign in the Baltic states. And we're going to talk to MEPs from each of those three countries today. Sven Mikser is an Estonian Social Democrat and a member of the S&D group here. He sits on various committees that have to do with foreign affairs, security and defence, and with relations with NATO. Welcome to you. Also with me, Ivars Ijabs, a Latvian MEP from the centrist Renew Europe group. One of his main interests is industry, research and energy. Welcome to you as well. And I'm also joined by Stasis Jakeliūnas, an independent MEP from Lithuania who sits with the group of the Greens. And he takes a slightly different view on certain Ukraine-related questions, which we'll get to later. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
So one of the things that all three of your countries had in common was this very high inflation, well above the EU average in 2022. That has now gone down a little bit as of 2023. But I'm just curious how much this question of cost of living and food is going to play out in this election campaign that the EU is having, and particularly in Latvia, Ivars, because there's been a new measure now to restrict food imports from Belarus and Russia. So what impact is that going to have?
Well, first of all, in Latvia, inflation, thank God, is down, which means that, well, we are still hoping that the ECB is going to lower their interest rates, because, of course, Latvian economy has been suffering. But as for your question about the Russian and Belarusian grain imports, I think this is an important European issue, because, of course, we just can't afford to finance the war in Russia. And that's why I think that the proposal by the European Commission to restrict that by putting some tariffs, significant tariffs on those imports is the right one. As for the cost of living in Latvia, of course, I mean, the current government hasn't been very active in supporting families and individuals with those high prices, but nevertheless, of course, I think the main issue for the whole Europe and also for my country is right now how to get back to the growth, how to get back to the increased productivity. And this is not just for Latvia, but for many European countries.
Yeah. And Sven Mikser, what do you think of the role that the cost of living crisis is going to play then in Estonia? Because in other parts of Europe, we've seen populist parties on the rise because of this very issue.
Obviously, socioeconomic issues play a very significant role in each and every election campaign in every country. I think that what makes the Baltic countries unique, or not unique, but special, is that we understand that right now there is one issue on the European agenda that is both extremely urgent but also existential for the whole rules-based international order, and that's the need to help Ukraine win this war. Obviously, it involves very significant cost for our citizens all across Europe, but particularly in some European countries. It involves sacrifices, and I think that it's extremely important that these costs, that this burden be borne in a way that is equitable, both between the individual European countries as well as between and among different social segments
so
in the society.
So more support for consumers then, for example, in Estonia to help bear the cost?
Absolutely. I think it's also critical for maintaining the very high degree of support for this effort of helping Ukraine to win the war. So I think that our governments back in our capitals need to do more to make sure that this cost is shared equitably and fairly, but also European Union will have to make sure that we take very seriously the concerns of particular economic sectors as well as particular segments in the societies of individual member states.
So on energy independence, I wanted to ask you, Stasis Jakeliūnas, because as I said in the introduction, you are still with the Greens European Free Alliance, even though you're an independent MEP now. But Lithuania wants to get 90% of its energy from renewables by the end of this year. Is that a realistic goal, do you think?
Not Probably not by the end of this year, but...
The decade, I should have said. 2030, I meant.
Yeah, so it's more realistic, but the problem is, you know, because it's volatile energy, you know, it is renewable, solar and wind are not stable, so we have to store it somewhere, so we have to be a balancing act. So we have this LNG, huge LNG terminal, which creates this possibility for being independent, at least from Russia, but we are becoming independent or became independent from larger and more costly imports of LNG from other places. But what is important about energy is the volatility of prices, because Lithuania moved into, I think, irrational liberalization of the electricity market, and consumers have to choose which supplier and which plan is optimal for them, which is impossible to predict in this volatile environment. So that creates uncertainties and confusion, anxieties among consumers.
And volatility, of course, related again to the whole geopolitical situation. And I want to get back to what Sven Mixum mentioned about the war in Ukraine and the impact that's having. So if we look at GDP spending in the three Baltics, back in 2022, they were already above NATO averages: Estonia 2.34%, Latvia 2.10%, Lithuania 2.36%. The current goal for all three countries is 3% of spending. Stasis Jakeliūnas, but you've actually said that Russia is a nuclear state which can't be defeated, and somewhat controversially within your party group, you abstained in votes on Belarus and Russia. Does that mean you would not spend this extra money on defense?
Well, I think defense and security consists not only on military spending, but on also of diplomatic actions. You know, so we have to deal with these neighbors one way or another. Sooner or later, there have to be negotiations. So I think Lithuania and some other countries, at least the government of Lithuania, is very active in trying to defeat Russian empire, let's say, or Russian state, which I think is not very possible, unlikely. So some NATO officials, high-ranking NATO officials, which we visited a couple of years ago almost, agreed that there is no military solution in Ukraine. I would add that there is no military solution favorable for Ukraine now. Even though I support Ukraine and all these people, all the diverse cultures there, I think we have to be realistic. So, you know, we have to find the solution. Reasons for that war, my short thesis is, this is unjustified and illegal war, as it was the war in Iraq, but this is a provoked war. Russian aggression was provoked. So this is the point that they want to make.
Ivar Ziyabs, what about this goal of 3% on defense spending? Where are you at on that?
This is a necessity. And I think if the confrontation with the Russian aggressor goes on, I think that 3% is a lower limit in many ways. But as for the remark about the Russia being provoked and so on and so forth, I think that this is really an illusion that the current Russia with its current regime has any place in the future European security architecture. This is an aggressor, a revanchist country which wants to redraw the borders and which doesn't see the Baltic states as independent, pro-European Western countries.
We cannot afford this sort of defeatist attitude. I think we absolutely have to make sure that Russia is defeated on the Ukrainian battlefields. I think it's the matter of survival for the old international order.
Yeah.
We have UN Security Council, which is tasked with preserving, maintaining international order. And now we have a country that sits veto-powered on the UN Security Council and has waged a war of aggression against an independent democratic neighbor. I think we absolutely have to make sure that Russia does not come out of this on top. I think there is insufficient understanding in some corners of Europe of the existential nature of this threat. And defense spending, collectively in Europe, we have been taking out the peace dividend for far too long. And if we want to play the role in the international global arena over the next decades, we'll have to be strong industrially, economically, politically, morally, but also militarily. That is absolutely unavoidable.
I'll just about 3%.
I think we need to reach 3%, but not necessarily to go over that, because, you know, we have to balance act. Baltic countries spend, as part of their budget revenues, significant amount, because the budget revenues compared to GDP is quite low. So we are spending a lot already, but military spending, as I mentioned, is not enough. We have to do more, and we have to understand why this war started, and therefore this is the key how to end this war. Military solutions, I say, it's impossible.
It's absolutely important that the larger European countries actually reach 2% and then higher, because today we take great pride and say that more and more countries meet this threshold, but it's mostly small or medium-sized countries, and collectively I think we are still not doing enough. And
just briefly, Ivars, what do you make of all these latest moves at the EU level on reforming defence procurement and defence, the financing of common defence, and Latvia's role in all of that?
Well, I was a rapporteur for one of those files, the so-called EDIRPA, and I know what does it mean to reach a consensus in this house about how you do you procure defense materials, but it's still the way to go. But as for the finance in general, first of all, well, all the NATO member states in Europe should pay at least those 2%, which doesn't happen right now. But as for the future, I think that certain integration of that European pillar of NATO is a necessity, and this applies also to financing. As we all know, the French president has just came with an initiative which is something like the RRF, the next gen EU, not now this time for defense. I think such initiatives are going to be necessary, because I don't think that the Russian aggressive attitude towards the West is going to stop anywhere soon.
Okay, let's end it there. We've run out of time. Thank you so much to Ivars Ijabs, Sven Mikser, and Stasis Jakeliūnas. That's all for this edition of Talking Europe. Thanks for watching.